Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host of Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. I wanted to talk today about some things that I think is quite important to most of us and also to people in legislative positions who make the laws, the rules, and everything else. I want to talk about sentencing. I want to talk about voting rights. I want to talk about the injustices, the comparison between the injustices with federal and with state prisoners, but also the injustices between the wealthy, the poor, and the middle class. One of the things that I've noticed a lot of, and I think all of you have, is the inequality in sentencing. Right now, crime is on the rise. Crime is seriously on the rise, and so is mass incarceration. And one of the things that we don't think about, when they think of crime, they associate crime with those who have been in prison for years and years and years. They don't realize is that those people who have been in prison for years, they have outgrown their childhood. They have outgrown their youth. They have outgrown a lot of them are medically and mentally ill because they don't get the rehabilitation that most people think they get while incarcerated. Crime is on the rise now, and it's time that they do something about it. But if you notice, crime, when it's on the rise with people that are actually trying to destroy their own country, they get a slap on the hand. They get to keep their voting rights, which I think is really ridiculous. And it shows the mentality of the leaders that we have in this country today. We need to look at these people who have been incarcerated for years, who went in before they were even 25 years of age. And they've been in for so long that some of them are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and even 80s and 90s in wheelchairs, disabled. Whatever happened to corrections, when people go to prison and they end up becoming so severely disabled that they can barely walk, and some of them can't walk at all. But yet we see these people in this country going against their own country and getting 4 months, 6 months, 2 years in prison. I don't know about you, but as a five-year-old child, I know a five-year-old child would have enough sense to know the difference. And this is what we have leading our country today. We have mass incarceration where in no other country is there such a thing. We have vengeance in this country. We have retaliation in this country. We have racism in this country. We have corruption in this country. We have deception and lies in this country. Young people today are out there partying all the time. Or they're on their computers or on their phones, cell phones. I remember years ago when people would be getting jobs as soon as they could, as soon as they were able to get a job, they would get jobs. Whether it be in a grocery store, whether it be in a fast food place, whether it be farming, helping people, selling things on the side of the road. But I don't blame the young people today. I blame the older ones because these young people have no role models, absolutely no role models. Even parents today are so busy trying to keep up with their peers, trying to look good, trying to be good, being in their cliques. Think about it. Think about it. We have people in this country that need help themselves. And when I say that, I'm talking about our leaders, our government leaders. They need help because they don't know from head to toe what they're doing. I want you to think about it because we have a dead country, and that's just what this country is all about right now. It's a dead country. There's no life in it. The only thing about this country now is the people are suffering behind those prison walls. People are suffering in the streets. Kids, today, youth, are either being shot down or they're shooting. There's so much dysfunction going on in this country today. And what are we doing? We're still up there giving millions and billions of dollars to a country that has so much money from this country that even other countries from NATO are not even doing their share now because they know this country is a fool. We have inflation now. We have an economic problem. Everything's going sky high. There's shootings we hear of every single day now. Every other day you're hearing about somebody getting shot. Right in Massachusetts, there were 3 shootings in one night. There were 6 shootings a couple of weeks ago. All because people want to be in their cliques. They want to be up there with their friends. They came into this world with nothing, and yet they feel they have to have everything. They have to have all their corrupt friends. Because if you have friends that are doing dirt, or you have friends that are trying to turn you against people that you don't even know, or you have friends that are talking about getting as much as they can, materialistic things, those are not friends. Those are the ones that would turn their back on you in a split second, believe me. So crime is on the rise. And that's one of the things that has been talked about a lot during these campaigns. Crime. Which means they're going to be getting harsher on crime. But yet crime's going to continue because the crime is being committed by people in politics. By people in politics. We have some sick people in this world. You have to think about it. And I'm going to give you a minute to think about it. We have people that complain a lot about the things that are going on. We have people all over this country complaining about the inconsistency, complaining about the corrupt. We have people talking. One of the things I despise is people that talk and do nothing. And sometimes we reach out to our political leaders to get help when we're not getting anything done by the people that are the ones that are doing the dirt. Our political leaders, they don't even have any more power than we do. They call the prison system. They have to get a release of information signed. Can you believe that? Our legislative leaders have to get a release of information signed by the client or the prisoner. And then they get lied to and they do nothing. They put people don't even know this. They put prisoners in solitary confinement or on restrictive housing units with no reason sometimes. A lot of times these people are being put in these positions for no reason. So when the legislative members call to find out why they're on restrictive housing units or in solitary confinement, they're told the person is not. That person, he or she, is in general population when in fact they're not. So what happens? The politicians, they catch them in a lie and do nothing to follow up on it. Now I'm going to tell you another thing. Lawyers deny a lot of these incarcerated individuals. They deny them the help they need. Lawyers have a habit of picking and choosing, just like anybody else in law, who they want to represent. And they usually pick someone that has some kind of pull, or someone that has connections, or someone that's going to make them feel good. And when these prisoners cannot get the help they need legally, they try to file their own pro se. When they try to file their own lawsuits, because this is the only way they can do it, what happens? A lot of times they get put in a hole. The court system gets a motion filed by the Department of Corrections officials to dismiss the cases. Well, the client or the prisoner, what can they do? They can't do anything because they're in a hole. So after the courts dismiss their suits, then the people are let out of the hole. And a lot of times they try to appeal the court's decision and they get everything taken from them, their law books. They get everything taken from them so they don't have anything to go by. And people, even on Facebook, all these groups, a lot of them will confirm this, that the mail is tampered with. These prisoners, they can't get books. They can't get magazines. And when they try to file lawsuits on their own, civil rights violations, human rights violations, their mail is messed with. Their mail from the courts, their mail to the courts. This is a fact. And I'm saying all this because I want people to know, when they talk about getting harsh on crime, when they talk about crime is on the rise, they're talking about it for two reasons. They're talking about it because they don't like the fact that a lot of immigrants are coming over from other countries. So they're saying crime is on the rise because these people are coming over to this country. When in fact, crime is going to be on the rise anyway because this country's citizens that are out there committing crimes, that's where it's on the rise because there's no role models for these young people. So these young people are out in the streets trying to find some support, emotional support. And what do they get? They get the emotional support from their peers who are going through the same thing. When you have young people that have to reach out to one another to get the help the adults are not there to provide, that's when gangs are formed. And I'll tell you another thing. A lot of these kids that have parents, a lot of parents are in prison. It's been a cycle because those people are in prison because maybe their own parent or parents were in prison and those before and before. It's just like in social work. You have a cycle, and unless somebody in that system, family unit, unless that someone in that family union breaks that cycle, it's going to go on and on and on. If you go in a home where there's a lot of chaos and confusion, you're going to find a lot of dysfunction there. I went into a home one time. The kid was on the kitchen table hanging from the chandelier. When the mother took him off the table on the floor, he grabs the dog's tail. He's pulling the dog's tail. This kid was hyperactive, ADHD, hyperactivity. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. There's a lot of stress on parents today. There's a lot of stress, especially in single-parent homes. But there's a lot of stress on parents today because, especially now, with the economy the way it is. And I remember so many times hearing, you cannot help anyone unless you help your own first. You take care of business at home before you help others. And yet, with all the dysfunction going on in this country, our president, unfortunately, has been so infatuated or so focused on another country or other countries that he has not fulfilled his own duties in his own country. And we see so much going on. But that doesn't go to say we need to vote for somebody that caused a lot of dysfunction, that caused it, the former president. One causes all this chaos, all this violence, while another one completely ignores his own country while he's helping another country. It's ridiculous. And then these adult males with their pants hanging down to their behind, instead of trying to teach kids how to dress, how to be a little bit more properly adjusting. These kids don't need to be wearing their pants down to their behind. You know, when I was in Africa, I'm going to tell you, the women there respected themselves and the males did. But when I was there, there were these two young males and they were using the F word, F this, F that. And I asked them why, because I'm not used to hearing that when I travel to other countries. And I was in 11 third world countries. But they said they were saying it because they do it in the United States. Everybody used to want to be like the Americans, and they were following the Americans. They were trying to be like these young men and women in America. And that's what they were learning, how to use the F word all the time, how to dress with their clothes hanging. if I'm going to see somebody wanting to be following the way I have at, wanting to follow me because I'm from America, I want to show them the decent part. I want to show them how to talk and walk. I want to show them how to dress. But people from other countries have more class. They may live in poverty, but they once had more class than even the people with money in this country. And unfortunately, our own people, even African Americans, have to be a disgrace to our people in other countries because they want to look all cool. And unfortunately, now we have a lot of our brothers and sisters in the diaspora going back to Africa. Are they going to go there and make it like America? Or are they going to go there and learn something from the people there on how to respect themselves? I, unfortunately, on Facebook, I've seen a lot of beautiful black women dressing like prostitutes with their boobs hanging out. There was a time when somebody would say that's how the honkies or the white trash or whatever. But there's no difference now when they start, when our young black males and females dress like they do. It's a disgrace. There's so much we need to learn from other countries. So I don't know why we would be going over to other countries to tell them how to do things, when we are the only country in America and around the world that has mass incarceration, that has so much violence, so much racism. We are the, I mean, it happens in other countries, but this country is the instigator. This country is the cause of other countries, because other countries respected the United States so much one time, they wanted to be so much like the United States, the people of this country, that they were following suit. They were following suit. And this is what we're teaching them. We're teaching them how to hate. We're teaching them about racism. We're teaching them about corruption. I was born and raised in this country. I was born and raised in a beautiful place on Cape Cod. I had two parents. I had a beautiful growing up, a beautiful childhood. And I took that for granted. But I'll tell you one thing. We have to look at these people in the streets and these people in the prisons who were not fortunate to have a home with two parents, who were not fortunate to even have a decent home. Many in the streets, many coming from abuses as children and youth, many of them in drug-infested environments and homes. And then those who were brought up halfway decent or in decent homes being vulnerable because of the environment they lived in. See, when I talk about cultures, I don't talk about just cultures and racism or races. I talk about cultures in the home, in the environment. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of young people that have grown up in the streets of Boston, in the streets of New York, in the streets of Chicago. And there's a lot of young people that grew up in better environments in the country. But that makes them vulnerable, because what happens is when you get these kids coming from well-to-do backgrounds, well-to-do homes, in prominent places that enter into your lives, then you have a problem. Because a lot of times these well-to-do, these kids that come from well-to-do homes, prominent homes, they think they're going to, and they do, a lot of them do, go into the lives of those who have suffered, those who have grown up in unfortunate situations, and they're going to play them so they can go back to their friends and tell their friends and laugh about it. So we have a lot of people in prison who are wrongfully convicted because of people like that. And also people in prison who were victims before becoming offenders. First-time offenders serving life and life without parole. Can you believe that? Can you believe our government is that cold-hearted, that barbaric, just like the penal system, that they would give somebody a life without parole for a first offense? And they have a habit too of splattering names all over the internet when people go to court. Even if the situation is dismissed, if they leave the country, the situation it's dismissed. So why have it splattered all over the internet? If they're wrongfully convicted, they're serving life and life without parole, and even death row. I mean, can you imagine a lot of people that have been executed for wrongful convictions? And people in society still, a lot of them still want the death penalty in place, knowing that they were part of innocent people being executed because of their own hatred. It's sad. And then there's a lot of people in prison who have lost loved ones because someone else murdered their own loved one. There's a lot of people in prison for that. But yet, when you talk about or listen to that situation where those 17 kids were killed by that young man, and he was sentenced to life without parole recently, their parents were able to speak at the sentencing. And to hear them talk, one woman said, "I hate you so much, I hope you die. I want to see you suffer. I want to see you this, I want to see that." Well, that person has the same mentality. So what would happen if that kid didn't get that sentence and he was out in the street? Would those people be killing him, and would they be going to prison too? And everybody would be talking about them? So there's a lot of people in prison who committed their crimes out of pain and suffering, just like those parents. They lost loved ones, whether it be to police officers, whether it be to strangers, whether it be to their own family members, whatever the case may be. There's a thin line between love and hate. And when these people end up losing loved ones, a lot can happen. There have been kids that have lost their parents to incarceration. There have been kids that have lost their parents to street violence. There have been kids that have lost their parent or their sibling or loved one through hatred, through racism. Again, we live in a society where everybody is quick to talk, but no one's quick to do any actions. No one. I belong to a lot of Facebook groups, and just last week there was someone that says, "If I get on a radio show, I wouldn't know when to shut up." Well, I invited her, come on. But this is what we have a lot of times. We have a lot of people that are so quick to talk about the issues and too afraid to speak out, too afraid to bring awareness, too afraid to talk about their situations or their loved one situations. The ones who talk about it are the ones that will go through every means to try to get help for them or their loved ones who are going through the injustices. And when they can't get help from anywhere, they get frustrated and they start getting angry. And I can confirm that because I'm one of them. I have no use for this country as long as this country has no use for justice. When I talk about people not willing to help, I'm not just talking about whites not willing to help anybody. I'm talking about blacks, browns, red and beige who are talking but doing nothing. They have their cliques. Even in law, they have their cliques, so they will help anyone that their peers tell them to help, and they will not help anyone their peers tell them not to help. And some lawyers are so corrupt that they have taken advantage of families. They have taken advantage of unfortunate situations where they rip people off big time. And the American Bar Association, they do absolutely nothing. You know, a lot of times these people who claim to be the American Bar Association is supposed to be a place where you can go to when somebody does some injustice, when a lawyer does injustice to you or to your loved one or to others. But yet the Bar Association stand together. I know Massachusetts does. I know Ohio does, and other places around the country. I have had a lot of real special guests on my shows. I have had someone from the Sentencing Project. I have had a lieutenant from Montana Department of Corrections. I've had a 14-year veteran from one of the biggest prisons in California. I've had somebody from Germany come on, somebody from Germany who's advocating for a couple of wrongfully convicted in Ohio. I've had a psychosocial therapist come on numerous times from the Netherlands to talk about the comparison between the prisons in Europe and other countries compared to this one. I've had a gentleman who's been advocating for wrongfully convicted woman out of Georgia, and he also is from Europe. I have had a woman from Families and Friends for the Mentally Ill right here in Massachusetts. I've had former prisoners, and I have had current prisoners on this radio show. I have had loved ones who were actually fighting for their loved ones who were wrongfully convicted. I have had wrongfully convicted people on the show. I have put together a petition to replace prisons with long-term residential treatment facilities, with experienced and educated experts in psychology and substance abuse counselors. Petitions that would help do away with prisons that are only making prisoners, people incarcerated worse. Prisoners who are not doing the rehabilitation. Targeting prisoners, preventing them from doing any educational work programs or anything to show that they have done something while they were incarcerated. This is meant to be. This is a penal system that means what they're doing. And that is to prevent prisoners from progressing, from doing anything productive while incarcerated, so that when they are available or eligible to go for parole, they have nothing to show for it. What are people doing? Why are they talking about doing away with life and life without parole when they're going to prevent certain prisoners from doing anything while they're incarcerated? Those prisoners deserve, just like any other prisoner, to have that opportunity. But yet, we have a system that's so corrupt. Legislative members that are so afraid to do their job. Now, these are people that have titles. Legislative members are the ones that write out these bills. Legislative members should know they have more power than they realize. We have people in politics who are very young, and I think that's what the problem is. They don't have enough experience to know. So they're cattailing prison officials. They're afraid to speak out. They're afraid to speak out. Then we have a union, the Guards Union. So powerful, people are afraid to go up against the union. Lawyers. Lawyers, a lot of lawyers are changing their field from criminal to bankruptcy to marriage to all anything but. A lot of them don't want to deal with criminal justice anymore. They don't want to deal with criminal. They don't want to deal with civil rights. They don't want to deal with post-convictions. They don't want to deal with anything. Appellate especially, criminal especially. And then our own people that talk so much. They talk so much about the injustices. And yet, they start out good, but it becomes about money. So their whole thing is money. Help your friends, get as much money as you can, and forget the rest. You know, they talk about Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. What Black Lives Matter? Which ones? The federal only? Because I get a lot of emails about the federal prisoners. I get a lot of emails about donations. What Black Lives Matter? Just wait until somebody dies, and then you can go up before the media, and you can start fighting the system because somebody of color passed away, died, or was killed, or whatever the case may be. All of a sudden, Black Lives Matter. Well, be there for them before they get killed. If Black Lives Matter, when they're crying out to you for something that's going on in their lives, especially behind the bars, be there for them. When someone calls for help, and the person in charge with that chapter, wherever it may be, says, are you putting anything into it? Are you contributing? Are you donating? What are you doing for the prisoners? What are you doing? Hey, they don't call you to ask you about themselves. They're calling you to ask for help. And if they were doing anything and they were able to do anything, they wouldn't be calling. It's sad. This is what we're living in. So I'm not just singling out white, and I'm not just singling out blacks. I'm singling out people that do a lot of talk and do nothing. You might see, go to their website. You might see a lot of things on their website that they do. You might see them in the media all the time. Look it. I just realized there was talk about in Massachusetts about doing away with solitary confinement and restrictive housing. It's supposed to be happening in 2023. Well, now that it's already happening, one law legal services ends up writing a letter to the commissioner of the prison, the DOC. All of a sudden, they're trying to make people think that they're the ones that are making this big change to do away with life and life without and restrictive housing. One letter to the commissioner from a legal agency. So when it does happen, this law firm is going to be able to say, well, we did it. We wrote a letter to the commissioner. BS. Bull. It was in the paper in 2021. It's nice to write a letter to them. Anybody could. Everybody should. But again, if we did things in numbers and we did things in unity, we would see a major difference. Going before a media, getting involved with politicians, which is another thing I want to bring up. Some of these legal agencies, they're 501c3s. 501c3s, they're not supposed to have anything to do with politics. They're not supposed to get involved with politics. 501c4, yes. Now, I have a 501c4 organization. And when they started talking about the sentencing project, started talking about doing away with life without parole, I started off in that group because I had something invested in the prison system. And I don't mean money, where I'm going to get money back from prisons for profit. I have a loved one inside. But I couldn't be a part of that coalition because I had an organization to run. And although we're not lawyers, we seek lawyers for clients. And I was so busy trying to find legal help for some prisoners that I didn't have time for the coalition. But mind you, there were like 6 or 7 lawyers from one agency in that coalition. And yet when we called that agency, they kept saying they didn't have the manpower and they didn't have the money. So this is how people get known. By being in coalitions and doing a lot of writing, they shouldn't be lawyers. They should be secretaries. But this is how they get recognition, because they're in the media. They're in these coalitions they don't need to be in. And it doesn't take 7 lawyers. It just takes one to represent your agency, because that's all that was going to represent my agency was one, and that would have been me. But because we weren't able to get lawyers, we didn't have time to be in the coalition. This same agency not only has several lawyers in one coalition, but they have them in others. They have them in the coalition for solitary. They have them in the coalition for abolishing life without parole sentencing. They have them in every, they have these lawyers in all these places. You ask the prisoners, I've had so many prisoners say whenever they call these organizations, these legal agencies, they always seem to just get the receptionist. Just get the receptionist. They can't even get the lawyers. This is why I say I mean, common sense would make it, you know, you'd be able to figure it out and know to just think about it. Just think about it. They, going back now, even to taking away prisoners' rights to vote. Prisoners didn't do anything to their country, so why should their votes be taken away? Their voting rights. They didn't do anything to the country. They committed crimes, but they committed crimes as U.S. citizens in their own country, committing a crime, being sentenced, and they should be allowed to do their sentence time, do their time without incident. I myself, I'm disgusted with the penal system. I'm disgusted with everything. I started an organization because I too have a loved one that's inside. Never involved with the law prior to this. Never involved with drugs or alcohol. Worked since the age of 13. Took care of his body, lifted weights, exercised. 4 years of college, biology major. It took one person to come into our lives to destroy everything. And unfortunately, messed up somebody's mind so bad that they ended up committing a crime that to this day they regret as well. And it turned out to be a case of mistaken identity. But because that family was so corrupt and continues to be corrupt, they have done everything with their connections in the penal system as well to prevent this person from doing anything. Depriving of educational programs, depriving of work programs, depriving of books and magazines, tampering with the mail, taking away the property, keeping in difficult, different times in solitary and restricted housing units, medically, permanently, intentionally damaging somebody. But yet, all of that has been done to this individual, no lawyer will help because of connections. Then you reach out to legislative members whom, like us who have organizations, get treated the same way. You have to have a release of information signed by the person. And then they lie to the legislative members, and the legislative members know they're lying, but yet they do nothing. Only in America. And you know something, like I said before, I'm not the best liked person a lot of times because people don't like truth. And I tell it like it is. And I don't care if people turn against me because I don't have to answer to anyone but the higher power, the highest power, my creator. And my creator sees all things, knows all things, hears all things. So while people in the community think they're pulling the wool over somebody's eyes, ears, they can be sure that they're being watched. They can be sure that their day will come because my creator is the God of justice, a God of truth. And I don't care what the religion. I respect all religions, but I have my belief. There's only one God. And that one God can be called Allah, it can be called Abba, it can be called Jehovah, it can be called the Most High, the I Am. It can be called anything, Jehovah Jireh. But it's the same God. People don't realize it. One God created all things. And his Christ, his Son, the Christ, gave his life, gave his blood for us to have a second chance, hopefully. So people can have their biases, they can have their connections, they can have their corruption and their lies, deception, they can destroy everybody's children or their own, or they're wrongfully convicted. They can destroy. They can try to destroy them, and maybe they will destroy them, who knows? But we all have victory in the end. All the oppressed, all the afflicted will have victory in the end. Because it says in the Bible, the last will be first and the first will be last. And people, you can talk a lot. Talk is cheap. Everybody's so big and bad. that they talk so much about the system. They talk about everything that's going on, but yet afraid to do anything. I actually started this show so that people could bring their experiences or everything to the surface to bring awareness. That's why I started it. And if it wasn't for the people that actually contact me to do these interviews and I get them on the show that way, you don't see anybody coming on. I left Tuesdays open specifically for anybody to voice their opinion, for anybody to come on and talk about anything. But yet you see what happens? Silence, right? Silence. But they'll continue to talk and complain. Even people who have loved ones inside. Unfortunately, their loved ones are inside and they're complaining. Complaining, 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 right? But the complaints go nowhere. Because it's, to me, it's when they complain like that, it's because they want the attention. Not for their loved one, but for themselves. That's what it's all about, wanting that attention for themselves. I joined groups because I figured with groups, these people, not only are they family members, but also friends and advocates, they're going to be brainstorming, coming up with ways to resolve issues, especially when they bring these issues to the surface. They bring them on Facebook. If you're bringing them on Facebook, what do you want people to do? You want people to look at these articles and complain like you're complaining? Or do you want these people to look at these articles and say, well, let's start moving? Share it. Share these articles. Let them go viral so the world can see what's going on in these penal, in the prison system. Share them. Don't just like them. Children just like. It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. The petition I started to do away with prisons, replace prisons with long-term residential treatment facilities, with experienced and educated experts in psychology and substance abuse treatment. Not even 700 signatures. Here we have 2.3 million people in prison and not even 700 signatures. What's that all about? Here we're listening to these parents or parent talk about all the injustices, talk about what's going on with their loved one. Long-term treatment facilities doesn't mean long-term for 2 years. It doesn't mean long-term for 5 years. If someone's in prison for 5 years, put them in a rehab for 4 or 3. If somebody's in prison for 10 years, put them in for 5 years in long-term treatment. If somebody's in for life sentences, put them in for 25 years of treatment. If somebody is not eligible to come out because they're that violent, serial kill. Somebody said serial killers, serial killers, terrorists. A lot of times they might not come out, but they don't have to be in a prison. They can be in a long-term treatment facility. So the life that they're serving doesn't have to be in prison. It can be a life being served in a residential treatment facility where they're going to be treated. You know, a lot of times in the military, when they come out, these men that were working in classified areas of the military, there's a lot of things they can't talk about. There's a lot of things that they have to keep quiet because they are, it was like the CIA in the military. So a lot of these military men that come out and the information that they have gotten while they were in, they can never talk about it. A lot of times they have to, when they come back, they have to go through a process. So a lot to take out all that information. They have to go through these kind of things. But that's what they do, they can do in these long-term residential treatment facilities. They can reverse a lot of things that were put in the minds of these terrorists or these serial killers. The treatment for serial killers is brutal. But I'll tell you, one of the things that we have to realize with serial killers, they have deranged minds. When people do research on serial killers a lot of times, they find that serial killers went through terrible, terrible bringing up, childhood, that they were tormented and tortured. And this is where a lot of them get that violence from, that terrible. And I wouldn't want to see a serial killer loose. But I would rather see them in a long-term treatment facility. Long, forever, but at least getting treatment for their dysfunction that they were born and raised in. Even if they don't ever get out, if they can get the proper treatment, then it might be safer if they ever did get out, if they ever escaped or whatever. But we need to stop the stereotypical views of individuals incarcerated. We have to stop the stereotyping because not every situation is the same. There are a lot of people that weren't in their right minds when they committed their first offense or committed their offenses. And the wrongfully convicted, people get caught up sometimes being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And a lot of people incarcerated, I'm sure, if they claim they're innocent, a lot of times they may have been in the wrong place at the wrong time. It has been proven. It has happened. I wish there were more innocence projects like Barry Schex. I wish there were more innocence projects out there that worked on situations like this to give somebody their freedom when they have been wrongfully convicted. And like I say, with first-time offenders, someone said on the news the other day, everyone deserves a second chance. When somebody gets a life or life without parole for a first offense, or even a death penalty, it's inhumane, it's barbaric, and it doesn't say much for the people of our country. It doesn't say much at all. It's bad enough getting a life or life without parole sentence for a first offense. But it's worse when you get that life and life without parole sentence. You get treated like an animal while incarcerated and have to live with that day in and day out. That if I have to be here for the rest of my life, is this what it's all about? Is this what I have to go through? And if that's the case, then we know why there's such a high rate of suicides in the penal system across the country. We're supposed to be looking at these prisoners as offenders, and we're supposed to be looking at ourselves as the righteous. And yet, our thoughts to do more damage to incarcerated individuals is not us being righteous. It's us being just as evil, doing errors and sins in a different way. You know, there's somewhere in the Bible that says even thinking thoughts like that is sinning. Even thinking it is sinning. And so many people are out there thinking that this person is not worthy to come out. This person is not worthy to live. This person is not worthy for my forgiveness. There was a woman one time that told me that she was a Christian. And she said that her mother committed suicide 10 years after her daughter was shot to death, 10 years later. Well, this woman was saying she was a Christian, but I found out her mother didn't commit suicide. Her mother died of natural causes. So this Christian, this person who claimed to be a Christian, was lying. How can you say you're a Christian and write in the same sentence be lying about a situation? That's what we have in this country, as Jesus said in the Bible, hypocrites, people that say one thing and do another thing. He also said he didn't come into this world to help the righteous. He came to save the sinners. And yet we have all these pastors, all these priests, preaching in the churches to the so-called righteous ones. What happened to the sinners? Have they been forgotten? that quickly? All because they can't give money like people in the churches can dish out money? And that's what they do. People in the churches are given all kinds of money, so you have all these preachers and pastors in the churches talking about tithing. You know, one of the things they're supposed to be talking about is the scriptures. They're supposed to talk about the scriptures because that's what, in any Bible, that's what it's all about. Do unto others as you want to be done, have done unto you. When Jesus at the Last Supper was talking to his disciples about the new covenant, when he was saying all the Gentiles, all, everybody was God's property, not just Jewish, but everybody. But what he said was, and he said this before in the Bible, he didn't come to take away the Ten Commandments. He came to fulfill it. And this is the way he talked to his disciples about fulfilling the Ten Commandments. The two greatest commandments is to know one God, love that one God, worship that one God. And the second is to love one another as you want to be loved. Well, if we want to be loved, we don't want to be hated. We're not going to be hating our brothers and sisters. And if you love your brothers and sisters, they're not going to be harming you. They're not going to steal from you. They're not going to hurt you. They're going to love you because this is the way they want to be loved. We want to be loved. Two commandments. We can't even keep those two commandments. That's how bad off we are. Two simple commandments. But it goes all the way back to being insecure. Because unfortunately, there's too many people in this country that are so insecure that they feel they have to go along with their peers, even if they know the peers are wrong. Even if they know their peers are talking to them about something that's not true. None of us are going to have the same emotions or feelings towards another person as others. I have people that I am respected by, and I have people that I respect. If I have a problem with somebody, I am not going to ask you to stop speaking to that person or stop associating with that person because I have an issue with them. We don't know what the issues may be, but we do know if we have an issue with someone else, that's between that person and me, and that's the way it should be with everybody. But we have so many insecure people in this country that they feel they have to go along with the multitude. They have to go along with them to fit in. If you're that insecure that you have to go along with something you know is wrong just to fit in, you got some major problems. Major problems. And they have major problems if they expect you to do that. That's this whole country falling apart now over what? Because people are saying that the votes were not right, that the election was not right. I mean, people have to see that if it was right or wrong, there's still no reason to destroy your own country. There's no reason to be doing all the violence because of votes. But we're living in a country now where you have to really watch it. The violence is escalating so bad that look at with Pelosi, with their husband, an innocent person, and a sickle going into her home, going after her. These are some major, these are simple things. That's why I say there's so many on the outside that are more criminal-like than a lot of people on the inside. So many people on the outside that have that criminal mentality, and yet they get away with it because of the power. We need a strong leadership in this country, an honest and strong leadership. What we got the first time, well, not the first time, but prior to the one we have now, we got a lot of violence. We got a lot of narcissistic attitudes, a lot of corruption, but there was leadership. The person was adamant. When they wanted something, they were going to get it. And then we got a president that's passive. They're talking about the violence that's going to be occurring today and all through these elections coming up. The violence, the fear of those sitting at the poll And yet the National Guard was not even mentioned. Bringing in the National Guard, they brought them in for driving school buses during the pandemic. But here they're talking about all this violence. No National Guard, no military. And then they wonder why people are afraid to be at the polls. But our time is running out right now. The show is almost ending. And I want to just reiterate one thing. We need to make changes in this country. We need to pull together. I don't care what race. It's not about race. It's about mentality. It's about causes. It's about passion. It's about a desire to unite, to make positive changes. And I don't care what state we're from. When petitions are out there for a good cause, sign those petitions. Well, if the petition is for something in Massachusetts or Florida or California or Ohio or Michigan or wherever, it might just apply to that state, but sign it, because the more signatures, the better it's going to be, because we are going to see progress. And then once that happens, then we can go on to your state. We can go on to another state. Just signing in numbers. Just like voting rights. People are working on trying to get voting rights restored in Massachusetts. If that happens, then we start working on another state to get voting rights back for that state. Vermont and Maine and one other state, I can't remember which one it was, but those three states, they never took away their voting rights for their prisoners, because their prisoners didn't do anything against the country they live in. When our government takes away the voting rights of U.S. citizens because they're incarcerated, they're also taking away the voting rights or the citizenship of the family members. And I work too hard in this country and help too many people as a social worker to think that some government is going to take away my voting rights, my citizenship, because of taking away citizenship or the voting rights of our loved ones. The only reason they take away the voting right of prisoners is because a lot of government officials that want to get away with so much know that if the prisoners had their voting rights, they would vote for the opposite party, the party that is for the cause, the party that is trying to do the right thing, the party that is not as corrupt or deceptive. So we are going to end this episode now. And I hope that someday some of you who talk a lot will come on the show and put that talk to use in exposing and brainstorming. Because that's the only way this country is going to be able to do anything right. We're on the edge of, right now, this country is on the edge of this total destruction. There's going to be a world war. There definitely is. We made sure of that when we started interfering in other people's business, other countries, when we have so much in our own country we have to deal with. So whether it be internal, domestic violence, domestic terrorism, or other, we have to look forward to this because of ignorance. So thank you for joining in, and we're now going to end this episode. Thank you.